There's about a 90% chance that you've heard the following quote at some point in your life. Find something you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Now, it's most often contributed to Confucius, which is both confusing and lacks even the tiniest bit of evidence. As far as researchers can tell, which I was even able to verify myself using Google's Books and Publications search engine, the earliest known use of the quote in writing is found in a Princeton University publication from 1980. It's in an article in which a professor of philosophy named Arthur Szathmary says, quote, "An old timer I knew used to tell his students, find something you love to do and you'll never have to work a day in your life." That's a great sentiment. It's very, very inspiring, or at least it is for me. But it just isn't true. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. But for some reason, most people these days seem to be afraid to say it. That's why I like the book by Darren Hardy, The Entrepreneur Rollercoaster. Now, the book is written for people wanting to start a business, but I think the basic principles can apply to much of life. Hardy starts out by reiterating the fact that you do have to love what you do. He quotes Apple founder Steve Jobs, who once said, "Who would want to put up with this stuff if you don't love it? If you don't love it, you're going to fail." And Elon Musk, whose name we should all know by now, said starting a business is like, quote, "staring into the abyss and eating glass," end quote. Sounds like that scene from the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch. So yeah, you have to love what you're doing in order to survive the hard times. And let's be honest, there are a lot of hard times. And that's what I think sets Hardy's book apart from the standard motivational stuff that gets repeated by everyone else. In The Entrepreneur Rollercoaster, Hardy says, quote, "I know you think that you should live a life of exalted and uninterrupted passion all day, every day. I know that's what the world's been telling you, but that's just not how it works." Yeah, but what about Bono or Branson or Oprah, you ask? Trust me, if you saw their schedules, the day in, the day out demands they're under, and the pressures they shoulder, you wouldn't think what they do 95% of the time is that great at all. The mistake people make is that they judge one person's, quote, front of stage persona with their, quote, back of stage reality. Think about it. How much time per day is Bono on stage doing what he loves? Or Branson in the press launching a new revolutionary business? Or Oprah on camera fulfilling her mission to use television to transform people's lives? The reality? Very little. 5% might even be generous. The rest of their days are spent in endless meetings and negotiations and contract reviews and lawsuits, makeup chairs, rehearsals, travel, transportation, etc., etc. Don't over-romanticize the idea of being wholly passionate about what you do. Nothing is awesome all the time. You should just give up that notion right now. End quote. Now, he makes a great point, and one that I think most of us really and truly wish weren't true. It's called work for a reason, which is why the quote I opened with, "Find something you love to do, and you'll never have to work a day in your life," well, it just simply isn't true. Even if you love it, it's still going to be work. In fact, if we're being honest, it's going to be mostly work. I mean, just listen to these quotes from people from across time and from all manner of successful endeavors. Tim Notke, a basketball coach, says, "Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard." Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson said, "Success isn't always about greatness. It's about consistency. Consistent hard work leads to success. Greatness will come." Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers of America, said, "I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it." Stephen King, the famous author, said, "Talent is cheaper than table salt. What separates the talented individual from the successful one is a lot of hard work." Michelangelo said, "If people knew how hard I worked to get my mastery, it wouldn't seem so wonderful after all." Margaret Thatcher, the former prime minister, said, "I don't know anyone who has got to the top without hard work. That is the recipe. It will not always get you to the top, but it should get you pretty near." And then finally, Sam Ewing, an author, said, and I love this, "Hard work spotlights the character of people. Now, some people turn up their sleeves, some turn up their noses, and some just don't turn up at all." Now, I mean, it's a roller coaster ride for sure, but isn't everything in life? Now, if that sounds a bit harsh and pessimistic and even dogmatic, trust me, it isn't because of all the quotes that I just shared with you, or even with the common person's everyday knowledge that all jobs are work, no matter how much you love them. It's because the Bible actually said it first. In Genesis chapter 3, the story of the fall of mankind, we see the curse that sin brings. The serpent, the craftiest of all the animals, is going to be forced to crawl on its belly and eat dust for the rest of its days. The woman will experience an intensification of pain during childbirth, and her allegiance and priorities are also going to be disordered. And for man, he's going to find that the ground is no longer a willing partner in his survival. It too is cursed, and making it sustain his life is going to be painful labor forevermore. He's going to have to sweat to survive. So from the beginning of mankind's story, work is destined to be hard, even when we love it. Jesus has not yet lifted that curse. The Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Rome, said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly waits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now." That's Romans 8, 18 through 22. Now, Paul is speaking of the new heavens and the new earth when, quote, "no longer will there be any curse," end quote. That's Revelation 22, 3. The curse of sin will be lifted, and all of creation will be restored to that Eden-like reflection of God's glory. But until that happens, work is going to be hard, even when you love it. But that isn't the end of the story. There's also a promised benefit that comes from being in right relationship with God through the redeeming blood of Christ. Galatians 6:9 says, "So we must not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not give up." That is a powerful promise. Babe Ruth once said, "It's hard to beat a person who never gives up." And Thomas Edison, the inventor, said, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time." Dale Carnegie said, "Most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who've kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all." And Winston Churchill, the former prime minister, said, "Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts." Now, this is really just another side to the principles of sowing and reaping. The curse is that sowing is going to be hard work, full stop. It's going to make you sweat. But the promise is that if you keep sowing, eventually you will reap the benefits. Eventually, the harvest will come. That's how God designed the world to work. Sowing is work. It's hard work. It is a daily grind. It's often thankless and almost never exciting. It is behind the scenes. It isn't flashy. Sowing isn't what people post about on social media, because sowing is often the boring minutiae of life. Sowing isn't glorious. Sowing is what happens between those glorious moments of reaping the harvest. And sowing is what makes the glorious harvest possible. No matter what harvest you're dreaming about, spiritual, financial, relational, influential, the sowing is what matters most. Without the slow, steady, difficult daily sowing, you will never reap that harvest. Let me say that one more time. Without the slow, steady, difficult daily sowing, you will never reap that harvest. Yes, it's going to be hard, even when you love it. Just whatever you do, don't give up. Don't grow weary in doing good. Hang in there and keep going. Now, if you'd like to receive the full transcript of this and every episode for free, you can sign up today at ericwilbanks.com or shoot me an email to eric@ericwilbanks.com, and I'll send you the transcript every time I release a new episode. I don't spam, and I will certainly never, ever share or sell your email address. Until next time, remember, a better mind always leads to a better life.